Last week, Hannah asked what she thought was a rhetorical question. How humble are you? It's not something you measure, and as soon as you do, you probably need to recalibrate it. Clearly, Hannah didn't reckon with the psychology of leadership. Because I did another psych assessment recently for work, and this one's called viacharacter.org, and it assesses your character strengths profile. Now, for those of you who have studied personal ethics as part of a theology degree, it would fall into kind of the virtue ethics stream. And anyway, I can share with you my humility score. It's a 3. On a scale of 1 to 5. The text that accompanies my score is, "You do not seek the spotlight," somewhat ironic at this juncture, "preferring to let your accomplishments speak for themselves. You do not regard yourself as special, and others recognise and value your modesty." Now, before you get too excited about that, I will, however, point out that humility was one of my lowest character strengths. We accept that we all have strengths and development areas. You know, there are common ideals, there are virtues, ethics, call them what you like, that we seek to instill in our children and enhance in ourselves. We hope to see them in our friends and neighbours, in leaders and politicians. We understand the behaviours that reflect those virtues and the behaviours that don't. We think about nature and nurture, repentance and rehabilitation, learned, relearned and adapted behaviours. And yet we don't always think about them in the context of our lives as Christians. So let's recap the Philippian story so far. Paul is in prison in Rome, writing to the Christian believers in Philippi. There's no moral issue or serious conflict evident. The letter is between friends. It's a letter of encouragement which emphasises peace, grace and harmony. Throughout the letter, Paul expresses that the Philippians, collectively and individually, have more to become and more to do as a church. We learned last week that the church is united with Christ and united in Christ. We learned that God wants us to be transformed, not conformed. That in Christ we are called to live out that which is already true. This week we learn what it is to do what we have to do by being what we are, children of God. I have for this sermon ripped off from Big Bang Theory some titles for us to think about. So the first one I'm calling the Silver Mines Directive. The structure of these 6 verses in Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 18, is fairly simple. Verses 12 to the beginning part of 16 gives some directives to the Philippians. And then the second part of 16 to verse 18 gives some incentives to them. These verses are about the things you have to do and the good things that result from doing them. Now, Paul is preparing the Philippians for the very real possibility that he will not survive prison or be able to come and spend time with them again. When a leader who has been depended on will no longer be around to give advice and direction, how do you prepare people to go on themselves? Can they go on? Do they need the leader in order to thrive? Firstly, Paul acknowledges that the Philippians have always obeyed him, in contrast to, say, the Galatians or the Corinthians, whether he was there or not. And in these directives that he gives in this first part, he splits them into two themes: what we do and who we are and who we become as Christians. So what we do and who we are. So what do we do? There's kind of three things at play here. He talks about responsibility, he talks about response, and he talks about what I'm calling the work balance. It sounds terrifying, but trust me, it's not. In verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation. Now, Paul does not mean here that Christians at Philippi must work to earn their salvation. This is not a directive to save yourself. He is writing to those who are Christians, so they already know Christ's salvation. It was theirs as a free gift from God. Paul's word, or work out, comes from the works of Strabo, a Greek who describes how the Romans worked out the silver mines of Spain, getting all the silver that they could from the mines. He's really saying that Christians must work hard to get all the wonderful riches that their salvation in Christ has for them. With fear and trembling does not mean with terror and trepidation. It means the honour that we should give to our holy and powerful God. Paul won't always be there, and they don't need him to be. They and we will work out our salvation. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, it's a positive. He trusts them to get the most from their salvation in Christ. They know they're saved. They've had the benefit of Paul's teaching and leadership. But on a slightly darker note, as a Christian, you shouldn't expect your leader to tell you how to live and every action and decision that you should make. Christianity is neither a dictatorship nor a nanny state. You have to live your own life and work out how to be a Christian in your life. And this is consistent with Paul's attitude to the law. Christ has fulfilled the law. You don't need the fence laws that the Jews used to decide their every action. As we learned last week, it's a heart attitude you need to bring that you need to bring to your approach to Christian living. But we're not alone in this. You, Paul goes on to say, have God with you. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's loving purpose is that Christians should become more mature in their faith. If we think about Ephesians chapter 4, they should become more and more like Christ. So God's purpose for the Christians at Philippi was that they should agree with each other. But we are not alone as we seek to obey God. He gives people the power to do his will. If we go back to chapter 1, verse 6, God began this good work in you, and I am sure that he will continue it. God is at work in you, enabling you to will and work for his good pleasure. This is about response. God's grace begins a person's salvation, but each person needs to accept this gift. And God's grace continues to work by his Holy Spirit. Christians need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in them. In response to his grace, Christians are responsible to work with God. So another way of thinking of it is to highlight the work words in this. Work out, work in, work for. We work out our salvation. God works in us. God works for his pleasure. We are his pleasure. That is, God works in us because he wants to. It's not our effort that drives him, it's his love for us. The Shining Light Directive. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. This is where the rubber hits the road. Working out our salvation applies to our whole life, to our actions and to our thoughts. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise to us because Jesus says the same thing. But he also tells us to be what we are, so that you may be children of God without blemish. We collectively and we individually are the children of God because we have been saved and we are with Christ and we are in Christ. Paul reiterates that part of working out our salvation is to be what we are, children of God. As children of God, we are called by God into his family. The without blemish bit is a bit daunting, but it harks back to the blameless and innocent. Christ, the sacrificial lamb, has taken our sin on him. Through him we are saved and can enter into the presence of God as children of God through the saving act of the Son of God. Shine like stars in the world. Light is one of those things that does what it has to do by being what it has to be. It has to be light. In general, and if we think about the time that this was written, light serves to illuminate, to dispel darkness. Historically, light brings good. In light, you can be both active and effective. And that's the concept that Paul is talking about here. To shine like stars is to illuminate the good through the gospel. And hold fast to the word of life, he says. And here Paul's out our responsibility full circle. Put simply, speaking about Christ is futile if our lives don't back up what we say. So we hold fast to the word. It grounds us. So these are a few simple directives that Paul gives us for working out our salvation. The responsibility we have to respond to God working in us, and in doing so we live our lives in such a way that our salvation is worked out in our lives through our behaviour, our values, our ethics, our decisions, our actions and our thoughts. So they're the directives. Let's have a look at what I like to call the rejoice incentive. There's three things to call out here. There's an end aim to this. Our reward is to be with God on the day of Christ and to be confident of the outcome. This is why Paul is not worried if he dies. I went to see Love and Friendship last weekend, and in the movie there's a conversation between the venal Lady Susan and her young lover Roger De Courcy. De Courcy's father is concerned about the relationship and trying to put a stop to it. So Lady Susan attempts to plant doubt in Roger's mind about his father's competence and health. "Your father is getting old. He would be worried about what happens when he dies," And Roger looks briefly puzzled and responds, "My father is a Christian, madam. He's quite confident that when he dies, he will be with our Lord. Death does not worry him at all." It's a simple picture that Paul is drawing here. If his life is poured out as a libation, a sweet wine poured over a sacrificial offering, picking up the unblemished lamb imagery of the earlier verses, it will not be a meaningless act. We will share in the joy of life lived in Christ, both now and always. A life lived responding to God, taking personal responsibility for working out our salvation, being saved by grace and having a surety of God working in us, will not be lived in vain, but results in shared joy. Joy with each other and joy in God. Oops, I hit the wrong button. What does it mean for us to live this out in our lives? There are a whole range of things that we take responsibility for in our lives. Jobs, family, health, weight, justice, education, home, the list goes on and on. We don't always apply that to our walk with God. We don't necessarily think of taking responsibility for our spiritual development, for working out our salvation. Now, I'm not saying that nothing else is important, we should disregard everything else. What I am saying is that Paul is telling us that this is central. Paul says, we are responsible for how we live our lives for God. It's not Steve's job or the preacher's responsibility or the government's or your employer or your parents or your children. Think of some of the areas that we talked about this morning. Hospitality, welcoming, praying, reading the Bible, proclaiming Christ, building community, serving others, sharing hope, inviting others into community with us as children of God. Each of us is responsible for our personal journey with God, and we are all responsible to help each other in our journey as Christians. For each of us, we live out what we believe and how we act. We have a responsibility to not just speak the word of the gospel, but to also live it. On the other side, we also need to not just let our actions speak, but also to share the word. Word and deed, deed and word. They're linked, and God expects us, where we are able, to show both in our lives. Now, I'm going to ask you to spend a few minutes now just talking in small groups about what areas of your life are you responsible in? How do you show your responsibility? And what areas of working out your salvation are you responsible in? So if you take a few minutes now to do that, and I'll bring us back together in about 5 minutes' time. These verses are not about saving ourselves. They're about responding to God and taking responsibility for our own Christian journey. We are learning all the time. But what we are assured of is that we are not alone. We know that we will make good decisions and bad decisions in our lives, but we know that God is with us through the whole of our life, and that we are called to be what we are, to be children of God, to be outshining lights, and to share in the joy of salvation. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Amen.